John, the book of John, chapter 1. This is not 1 John, John chapter 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll just see what the Spirit of God has for us this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed the presence of the Lord? Well, He's still here. He's still here. Praise God. Okay, all the kids settled in? Praise God. We went to the kids' zone. In 1 John chapter 1, go to verse 12. Oh, did I say 1 John? I'm sorry, it's a habit of my mouth, you know. I meant John. So if you're at Big John, you're right. Okay. It's all according to how you heard it. Go to verse 12 of St. John, chapter 1. Verse 12. Everybody there? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence now. And Father, You laid this message on my heart to give to Your people this morning. Father, we're not here to listen to men. We're not here because of tradition. We're not here because it's the right thing to do. We're here because we want to hear what the Holy Ghost has to say to the church. And so, Father, today as I reveal the Word of God to Your people, may they take it to heart, may they act on it, and may they perform it on the behalf of their benefit. As You have given it to me, I give it to them. As I use it, may they use it. And, Father, may nothing stop them in the name of Jesus. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name." Now, He's talking about those future tense, those that would receive in future. You got to remember, when He wrote this epistle, this particular book, He's already given you in that verse something that has been happening. Already happening. And that and the word that I want you to focus in on here is, "To them gave He power." This means the right or the privilege to become the sons of God. And even to those that future would receive Him. The word here for power is not dunamis, it's exousia. It's authority. To them gave He the rights and privileges or the authority to become a son of God. But it's predicated on you receiving Him. If you receive Him, then you qualify to receive the rights and privileges that belong to the kingdom of God. And every one of you that are born again here today, you have rights and privileges that you have a right to act on. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Now, the number, if you want to, you can write these things down. But what people don't understand about the kingdom of darkness is that at the beginning of our Bible, in Genesis, it was revealed to us that Satan, one of the characteristics of the devil, is that he's more subtle than anything that God created. And subtlety is a very, or is that the right word to use? I don't even know. Subtle. Subtle. The subtleness of the adversary, I'll give you an understanding about what that means. It means to move in on a person or place or thing so slowly that it's not even noticeable. You know, I heard this story about frogs. I don't know whether it's true. I never tried it. But if you take a frog, you put him in a cold bucket of water on a stove, and then you turn it up, he'll cook. But if you throw him into a boiling pot of water, he'll leap right out. But I mean, he'll sit there and he'll just cook. And you know, that's what happens to a lot of believers that do not continually live in and dwell with the presence of God in their life. They become like that frog. One day they wake up and realize that the kingdom of darkness is wrapped around their whole life, and they wonder how they got there. Well, it's because the attributes of the enemy is so subtle in your life that it's almost unnoticeable when he moves in. And when it truly affects you, And it's so subtle that when it truly does affect you, you don't even acquaint it with the adversary. You just acquaint it with yourself, or there's a problem with yourself, or there's a problem with God. Well, you know what? There's a problem with the devil. You know, if the devil's a part of your life, he's a problem. We got a good amen. Hallelujah. Now, notice he said here, and we're going to talk about the believer's authority. You know, I thought it was very interesting when Jesus made this statement when he was walking. He said, up until John the Baptist, he said, the kingdom of God suffered violence. You read the Old Testament, it'll tell you something about violence there. But he says, but the violent is going to take it by force. I love that passage. Every once in a while I go to that passage and I say, you know, up until John the Baptist, that means I was born into the kingdom after John the Baptist, and the kingdom of darkness is not going to be light with me, so I have a right to get violent right back.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Get, you know, we let things slide by and not realizing that the enemy has the power. Now, I heard a preacher preach that the devil has no power. That's right. I heard him actually, I even got the tapes. I can listen to him now. And he says the devil has no power. Well, I understood what he was saying, but he didn't clarify that. Because it's true, the devil doesn't have any power. But you have to understand the term that is being used there. The devil has power. Did you know he has dunamis? We're going to look at the scripture that says he does. But did you know that you're not going to find any scripture that says that he has authority directly? Why? When Jesus came up out of the grave, the first thing he met when he met to his disciples, he said, all hail, all power, all authority, exousia, all rule, all dominion has been given to me. You see, and a lot of people don't realize the devil was dethroned in the realm of authority. But he was not stripped of dunamis. That means an ability to achieve something in humanity's life.
Right.
Because the word of dunamis, most of your Greek people use the word, it's like dynamite, explosive power. I don't relate to that too well. I like the actual meaning of the word literally means an inherent, something that you inherit in power, you inherit that, and it's for your achieving ability. So when I had inherited the new birth, when I got born again, I inherited the Holy Ghost, and He is the achieving ability in my life, because He is my dunamis.
Yes, amen.
Amen? You know, a lot of people don't understand the terms of there's not just one word for word power. There's several meanings to it. But authority in the Greek language is not the same word for power. Authority changes, or the word power changes in the Greek language to mean specific connections to the word power. Now, I'm going to explain to you what I'm talking about. Authority is not power in itself. Authority is the doorway to which true power operates. Mm-hmm. Case example, I heard this minister tell me this years ago. Well, it was Kenneth Hagin. He said if you look at a traffic cop, he has a badge on, he has a uniform, and he directs traffic. And he said he has what you call the authority to direct traffic. But in actuality, if you don't like the police officer, you have the power to run over him. The problem is the state or the government then has power to run over you. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's just like these people that flag for construction and stuff. If you drive up to them and you see that, or at least I hope you do, you stop because they've given you directions whether to stop or to proceed slowly. Are you following me? Well, what makes you do that? What if you're in a hurry? I mean, you're going to be late for your work and you could possibly lose your job. And you drive up to one of them flagmen or a patrol officer. What are you going to do? Say the heck with you and go by anyway. Guess what? You'll have less time on your hands to get there when you violate that authority.
Right.
Anybody got that idea?
Yeah.
Now, actually, he is what you call one acting in authority. Are you following me? But authority needs to be understood this way. It is delegated power. Authority is delegated power. Can I hear an amen? And this is what a lot of people do not understand about authority. It's delegated power. Now, what if you get a policeman out there in uniform with a badge on, he's directing traffic, and all of a sudden somebody drives up and says, "Get out of the way!" And what if the police officer, okay. "I'm going forward anyway, you don't need to stop me." And so he goes through and he crashes into another car. Then what would you think of that policeman? Why did you allow me to go through there? Why didn't you exercise your authority? You know why he does it? For your safety. For the purpose of your safety, your well-being. He has to get one flow going, then stop it and get another flow going and stop it. Amen? So you have to have some kind of authority to operate that way. Now, I've noticed lately, because our traffic is getting so horrendous, if you hadn't noticed that, I'm beginning to see people becoming more respectful in a bumper-to-bumper situations. You know, like in Gig Harbor, we have this oath, you know. We take turns going forward. Are you following me? And I haven't seen anyone really violate that yet. But if it ever gets violated, it could be a mess. You follow what I'm saying? And so, that wouldn't be a very good police officer if he sat there and let you do what you want to do. He has to exercise his authority over you so that there isn't a catastrophe. Can I hear an amen? Now, if you will, turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, let's go to verse 17. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.' And he said unto them, 'I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.'" Now, isn't it very interesting that Jesus made a statement? He made a statement that he saw Satan fall from heaven. You know, none of us really look at this verse as a very, very enlightening verse. It's very enlightening. Did you know that when he talked about Satan fall as lightning from heaven, do you know he wasn't referring to when he came out of the grave in resurrection? He was referring to when he approached Adam and Eve in the garden. He was booted out of the third heaven. Christians today seem to think he has access in the third heaven. He does not. He once had that rights and privileges. He lost it. King Jesus dethroned him in that area of authority. Now, even if he could enter into the kingdom of the third heaven, if Satan could, to accuse a brother, then all he's got to do is point to Jesus. There's where all judgment lies. So go to him about it. Well, then what does it mean that he accuses the believer before our God day and night? He's talking about something that takes place in the earth with the kingdom of darkness versus a child of the living God. The accusations are brought before God as a testimony or witness to what a believer allows the kingdom of darkness to do or to have its way. You know, I'll put it this way. When a believer does not exercise his rights or privileges or his authority in the earth, then it's because Satan himself has gotten that person into a position where he is exercising his rights over that little believer. Mm-hmm. And that is what we call an accusation before God. Mm-hmm. He's accusing him before the Lord. What does that mean? It means that when Satan somehow gets a believer into a position where he can't exercise his authority, it's because the believer turned his authority over to the adversary. Because Satan has no authority. He has dunamis, but no authority. And this is where Christians need to understand that. Now notice in this verse here, in verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power." In the Greek, that is the word authority, "to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis." In the Greek, it's dunamis of the enemy, his ability. Do you know when you have the authority, that authority is God's ability, achieving ability at work within you to ride over the inherent power that the devil possesses. His ability. Hello? His ability. His ability meets God's ability. His ability meets God's ability. And guess who's the channel for that? You or me. You or me. We're the channels through which authority flows. Now notice what he says, "I give unto you." I give unto you. I give unto you. You see, what people are doing is waiting for God to do something about the situation. God is waiting for you to do something about the situation because you're the one that possesses the rights and privileges of his ability. The problem is, you can't do it in your own ability, and most believers try to deal with the devil in their own ability. You know what that's called? Stupid. Because within your own natural self, you don't have enough power within yourself to even think right. But I'll tell you what, Satan has a way of just subtly putting things into us and us buying them. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Are you guys getting something here? Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to be long-winded. In Ephesians 6, notice verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren," actually in the Greek, it's "for the rest of you." He's talking about a different category of believers here. This is a very pivotal verse here, very transitional. "Finally, for the rest of you, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods and schemes of the devil." Well, one of the methods and schemes of the devil is reasoning. Reasoning that originates sometimes out of us. But notice he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That's a very interesting statement. Very interesting. And he's saying for the rest of you, what the writer is doing is he gives information from chapter 1 all the way through up until chapter 6, this verse. And he gives complete specific instructions to the body of Christ as a whole. And one of the things he tells you, and I think it's about chapter 4 or 5 there, he says, "Awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead." Meaning believers that become complacent in God and fall asleep in him, they don't look any different than a dead man. He says, "Wake up!" And what God will do is he'll put you back into such fine tune in your life, because the word to redeem or to buy back literally is where we get the Greek word acrobatic, or it's a term used for aerobics, where your life will get back into such perfect timing that even what you've lost will be gained back. Ooh. Are you following what I'm talking about? And so some people, see, that's what the devil wants to do. Get you to get complacent, indifferent. He wants you to be so laden with care. He wants you so afflicted with the cares and the purpose. Why? He doesn't want the Word to have any preeminence in your life. He doesn't want you to be on the cutting edge with the Word of God. He wants you to get so wore down, he'll afflict your body, he'll afflict your money, he'll afflict everything he can to keep you on that downhill tread. And one day you got to rise up and say, "Stop! I'm in control of my life, not you!" Because you see, you're the one with the authority, not God. You are. God's the one that backs, because he's the dunamis, the power behind your rights and privileges. God told me one day, he said, "Quit thinking about what you want. Tell me what you want." It's not ordering God around. It's letting Him know what's in your thinking. You know what an unspoken prayer request is? Something God can't hear. Well, He just knows my heart. Let it out your mouth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, notice this. Finally, my brethren, or for the rest of you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. These are powerful words. Turn back to chapter 1 of Ephesians. Chapter 1. Boy, this spells a whole lot to us. This spells a whole lot to us. In chapter 1, go to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, notice this, and revelation, notice this, in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him, the eyes, what you see with, of your understanding. Wrong. In the Greek, it's heart. That the eyes of your heart. So you see things with the heart. With the heart of something. That the eyes of your heart. Your heart would be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He's talking about an inheritance here. The word inheritance here is an interesting word. It is a Greek word, kleros. It means two dice that they used to use in the Old Testament that was cast. And when the dice left the hands of the priest, it was determined by God how they fell. If they both fell up yes, it meant God was saying yes. If they both fell up no, God was saying no. If the one fell yes and one fell no, it meant it's up to them. And why would He use this word for inheritance? He's saying that through Jesus Christ, your inheritance has been cast from the hand of God. You're predestined to succeed.
Amen.
You are predestined to succeed. God never called you into His kingdom to fail as a believer. He called you in the kingdom to exercise your rights and privileges over the power of darkness, over this natural world, over that second realm, and also the third realm. That is what prayer binding and loosening is all about. It's operating in all three realms, the kingdom of the heavens, plural. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now notice this. And I'm going to make a statement to you. Knowledge is not power. Write that down.
Right.
Knowledge is not power.
True.
You know, I said, you know, Lord, I know what to do. And I just know what to do. I just know what to do. Why don't I do it? Why? God says, I don't know. We had a sinner tell us this in a communication class. Knowledge is not power.
That's right.
She says, you know what power is? Knowledge acted on.
That's right.
It means knowledge that's performed.
Right.
How many of you have been in the same place I am? The devil grabbed you by the throat, slapped you up against the wall, and started punching you in the gut and the head, and just smacking you all over, and you know that you're going through it. You know that you're in a test or trial. You know you're getting beat up. And finally, God said, why don't you offer some resistance? Good idea. Believers sometimes are more stupid than non-believers. You do that to a non-believer, he'll come out swinging. He don't have to wait whether the devil's behind it or not. He just knows he's got an opponent he's going to deal with. We have to sit there and take it until one day we have to wake up. Duh, you're the champion of this fight. Isn't that true? My wife tells me all the time. Well, Pastor Butler, what is your problem? That's all I need to know. That's the voice that says, exercise your rights or your authority. God, what am I going to do? The devil's all over me. Get rid of him. I'm waiting on you. No, I'm waiting on you. You guys getting something here? Good word. Okay. Hallelujah. Knowledge is not power, but knowledge acted upon or performed is power. That is your power. Now I'm going to tell you, let's read on here. First of all, he says the eyes of your understanding has to be enlightened. Now, notice verse 19. The writer, which is Paul, he used this verse, and when I looked this the Greek up in this verse, I went into shock because it was the only way that he could word it, but it's packed full of something. Are you ready? He says in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding or excelling greatness of his power, dunamis, towards us or to us who believe?" Now notice this. "According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and lordship." That's what it says in the Greek there. Now notice this. "And every name that is named, being named, not only in this time period or age, but also in which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." This is wonderful, powerful verses that tell us where the transfer of authority took place from Jesus to the church.
Right. Amen.
Now, look at these words. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis?" The word power there is dunamis. "To us who believe." Mm-hmm. Who believe. Now notice this. "According to the energies of his mighty kratos iskus." I know what you're all saying. Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, the word dunamis, notice the word dunamis means achieving power, being able or capable. Now, this literally means something someone inherits. You don't produce it from yourself. You inherited this kind of power. You inherited it. Means you had nothing to do about it. You inherited it. Every one of you have got power and authority and you don't even know it. Why? You inherited. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything to get it. You got it.
Right.
Well, when? Born again.
Right.
You have the rights and privileges. You have the authority. You have the authority to operate the dunamis of God. His achieving ability is in you. How can you say that from what I've been through? I can say it very clearly. And regardless of whether you're a wuss or not, the power of God is there to produce strength in you. It was all right to say that word? All right. Now here's another one. Energies. Working here is energies. This means the power at work that's operative or active. It means an outward display. You know, how many of you ever been around a box that said, "Power, do not touch"? You see all these wires going into it and everything. Right away it tells you, there's energy working here. Why? Open the door and touch. Your hair goes curly, you turn black, and you drop dead. Why? 25,000 volts would just went right through you. Why? Because you were stupid to touch the thing. That's what he's saying there. Energies. That means that God not only gave you the achieving ability, but his ability to perform that power is resident within you to do something with it. That's why the devil has to touch your power box. Whether he likes it or not, you could chase him down in the dark alley with a toothpick if you wanted to. And beat him to death with it. That's the kind of power you've got in your life. And the word kratos, very interesting. It means ruling power. The significance of force or strength behind someone or something. This word is connected literally to dominion. Dominion. You not only have achieving ability, you not only have inherent power that can fry something, which would be the kingdom of darkness, you also have the rule. A ruling power at your disposal right now. Now notice this. Iskus means the ability or capacity to perform. It means endowed power. It means a rule that's been given to you from a previous king. What king would that be? Say it like you know it.
Jesus.
Jesus. Matter of fact, kratos is where they put demo in front of it. It means the rule of the people. Democrat. Well, they think they do, but enough of that. But I want you to notice something here. I want to magnify two words here. Forget that. Here it is. It's found in verse 19. This is a secret, you guys. This is a secret. Underline these two words. Of His. Of His. That means all these terms for power, you got it, but it's not yours. It's His. That's why religion is so despised by God, because religion says, all that I am is what I have achieved to appease you, God. You know where that mind comes from? Condemnation. Believers end up with a religious mind, don't even know it, and yet they're a word troop. They're a word bunch. The devil talks you into believing that you have to work or label something before you can exercise it. Hey, if you're not succeeding today, it's because you're the one responsible for your non-success. Right. Not God, not the devil, not the Holy Ghost. It's your flat self. Yep. It's called, who's the biggest failure of my life? It's called Y-O-U. Yeah. You! Anybody know what that means in English? Take your finger, go like this, and put it right here, and say, it's me. Thank you. Somebody says, but you don't understand the things that I've faced. You know, that's like saying, Jesus, you cannot understand what I'm going through because you have never been touched with the feelings of my infirmity. I got the Word of God that says, you're a liar. He knows what you go through. He knows how you think. He knows the bondage you're in. But He can't do anything about it until you rise up and use Him in it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Good
word. You've got to do something about yourself. I'm just waiting for revival. God's waiting for those to come up where revival already is. One of these days, God's going to do something. No, God will do something today. We just have to go where He is on today to make it work. Nothing more sadder in my life is see believers neglect so great of a salvation. Just because they get tired, they get worn out, the devil slaps them at every turn of the road, and they don't exercise their authority. They get beat up, and they wonder if God's ever going to do it. You know, one thing about the fruit of the Spirit is called temperance. It means to get into control of your life. Self-control. I don't like the devil controlling my life. How about you? You know something? Some of you've had some hard times with other people. And you don't know what to do about it. I'll tell you what to do about love, hopes, and believes all things. Get back in the race with them. Even if brothers or sisters in the body of Christ has failed you, so what? Move on anyway with them. There's nothing more encouraging to a believer that is in a state of being depressed and thrust downward than to have believers grab and say, hey, let us help you up there.
Right.
I want to tell you something. Last week, in closing, it was a horrible week for me. And I got to a point where it's this the first of the year thing. Have you ever had the first of the year thoughts? You know, and so what you do is you reminisce your past history and your ministry and all that, and you don't see what you'd like to see. And so what you do is you get depressed and you get down and what am I worth? And I'm just a no good. And I won't allow those voices to talk to me, but I'll allow the emotions of it to get me, even though I cast down the thoughts, you know. And I said, God, I think if somebody calls me now and says, you've had it, you're all finished, I think suicide would be here. You know, that's the way I felt. I felt so down. You know, what do you got for me this year? The only thing that I see that you've got for me is new signs for our building. That's my vision. I said, I got to have more than that to go on. Yeah, new sign. Boy, that's low. That's low. And I was sitting in my office, and June was working with me and telling me things, and I was going, oh, shut up. I didn't tell. Every time I turn around, I got to do something. You know, just had an attitude. Anybody ever get an attitude? And so this word keeps coming up from the inside. The Son of God. And in spite of how you feel, do you know God will talk to you the most at that time? And that's when you ignore Him the most? Because your emotions take over? And so my emotions was playing havoc on me. And I'd run out and I'd just throw a few words off of John Cook, hoping he'd jump in there with a revelation or a prophecy. And he'd say, oh, well, that's good. So I'm in my office and I'm saying, oh, how can I be the leader of this clan? How can I do that? I'm sorry. Finally, the phone rings and June says, Pastor, this minister is on the phone. He wants to talk to you. I said, oh, great. He looked real excited, you know. Oh, great. He's probably going to pour all his problems on me, and I just feel like just tell him to go take a gun and shoot himself. That's the attitude they had, you know. So I answered the phone. It's a friend of mine. And I thought that this particular minister didn't want anything more to do with me. I thought he was just distancing himself. And so I was contemplating on whether or not being a part of his ministry and everything. And he says, you know, he says, Pastor Jan, the Lord has been on me all morning. And this is, oh, what? Dear John or dear Jan, you know, what kind of prophecy has this one got? He says, you know, he says, I got to tell you some things. He says, but I wrestle with the Lord all morning. And I says, well, why? He says, Pastor Jan, he says, you have no idea what you mean to me. And I went, huh, no, I don't. You had an attitude. He says, man, he said, when the Lord started telling me these things, he said, I said, Lord, I can't tell him that. He says, he tells me. I don't tell him. He tells me. The Lord says, you tell him everything that I tell you to tell him. And that's why he started off the conversation. And I said, well, what did the Lord tell you? And when he got halfway through what the Lord was telling me, it was everything that the Lord was speaking to me in my heart in my hour of depression. I was so shocked that I sat and I didn't know how to respond. And he says, now, I don't know why I'm going on like this, but, and he just went on, and he kept just making it more conclusive. And I'm sitting there, and I said to him, why are you telling me this? He says, I have no idea. Maybe God's telling me to tell you this. And I broke down and started crying. I said, God's telling you to tell me this. When he hung up, I saw beyond the signs. You know what I mean? I saw something beyond the sign word. Well, you know, that's why we need each other. To exercise our rights and privileges in the kingdom of God. That's why we need each other. When we detect someone's down, or we detect we've had a hard time, or even tough relationships with them, grab them and say, hey, it's okay. Let's go forward. Let's, you know, God's telling me to tell you. And you know, God will give you a word for them in spite of you. Are you following what I'm saying? Man, I'll tell you what, when I walked out of that office, I said, you know, June is the best secretary I ever had. Man, oh Lord, I love John Cook, man. This whole ministry wouldn't work if it wasn't for this staff and my friends. And but boy, when I went into the office, I wasn't there. Oh, a bunch of idiots. this ministry ain't going to make it unless it's up to me.
I could hear God. Yeah, right. Our biggest enemy is self.
Did you guys get something here today? Yeah, I just thought it was very interesting in James there. He encouraged the converted Jew. He said, receive with meekness the implanted or engrafted word, which is able to deliver the soul. He says, for he talked about this person looking at his natural face in a mirror and going away and forgetting what manner of man he is. Not was, he is. Well, for years I didn't understand what that really meant, this natural man in the face, but what he was saying is if you don't humble your mind, your thinking, and let God bring to fruit an understanding of delivering your soul, he says you'll walk out the rest of your Christianity looking at yourself as a natural man rather than the spiritual man that you are. Amen. We're victorious in the Lord. You know something? I'm going to give both of you a word of encouragement. You know? When I was sitting there preaching this sermon, I just felt it was for you too, as well. What's good for me is good for you, right?
Amen. Yes, sir.
But you know something? When I looked at both of you, it was like I knew you're in the perfect will of God. You're doing what God wants. There is no comparison to what God's called you to do. No one can take your place but you. And you've got to know that. You've got to know that you're loved of God and the fruit of your labor has precious fruit to it. Hallelujah. You're not to be compared with anything but what God has called you to do. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of times we as ministers, we start comparing ourselves with somebody else, and that's not wise. You know, if you start comparing yourself with yourself, that's not wise. Why? There's ground for schizo there. Anyway, everybody stand up. I know you guys got something here today. Amen. God wants you to realize you have a right to succeed in life. You might make mistakes. All of us have. Every one of us has made multi mistakes. I don't care which one of us are. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't have brothers that can come along and grab us. You know, if you know a brother or sister is suffering here this morning, then they might not come up here today. But before you leave, you grab that person you know is going through some hard time. Maybe you're the problem that they are where they're at. You grab them. You tell them you love them. And the past is the past. We don't live in the rearview mirror. We live in the open windshield of what life is all about. Amen. And let love flow between you guys. And hold on to each other. And love each other. And step forward. I'll tell you, that'll do more good than any minister that can pray for you up here if you just grab somebody in this body. I know that all of you know somebody that needs a hug and a love and needs encouragement. Tell them so in the love of Christ. Amen. Well, did you get something here today? Praise God. Father, now as we close, Father, I don't want to leave here without, first of all, giving an altar call. Maybe you've come and just to visit it. Maybe you're not born again. And you know something? A church doesn't cause the new birth to come into your life. It's a choice in your heart to receive Jesus, to abandon the old lifestyle and take on the new, to become a citizen of the Most High God. And if you're here and you've known about Jesus, but you want to know Him personally, we're going to give you the opportunity to be born again. Born from above. And if you're here and never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, we want to lay hands on you and want you to be baptized. And if you need to restore your fellowship with God, oh, now's the time to do it. And if you need physical healing in your body, it says they shall lay hands on the sick. And I got two ministers with me here today. We can lay hands on you. And let the anointing of God heal your sick body. All you got to do is believe it. And so with that in mind, if I hit any one of your salvation or restoration, the infilling of the Holy Ghost or physical healing, I want you to step out once we dismiss the service and come forward so that the rest can go. And have a blessed day today. Please have a blessed day today, every one of you. Don't let condemnation be a part of your walk with God today. If you realize you haven't exercised your authority or rights, go, move forward and do it. And with that, you're dismissed. Hallelujah. Oh, just one moment. Oh, okay. You're dismissed. Bye. Anybody wants to come up for prayer, feel free to do it.